Magic Mike Show, where you hear the experts speak. The Magic Mike Show. Tune into the show every week. The Magic Mike Show. You can trust the show is the bomb because it's being brought to you by RacingDudes.com.
What's up, everybody? I'm Magic.
And I'm Mike.
And this is the Magic Mike Show, episode 355, Mr. Samich.
March Madness. Huzzah!
Wrong number. I went a little wacky there. 535. Sorry. Yeah, I was like 355. I know we've gone past 420. I know for a fact. Yeah.
Oh, that's
the yeah, March Madness has already kicked off this morning. Michigan State beating Mississippi State. How is your bracket so far? Is it busted?
It's not bad. It's not bad. I had I'd like Illinois to lose here, but they've opened up on Morehead State. I got Morehead State plus 11.5, played a first half too. So that's good so far. No real losses for me yet. The key is going to be Tennessee for me because I have them going pretty deep, actually winning it all in the dudes bracket challenge. And that's going to be hopefully unique. I haven't looked at who everyone's champions are yet, but I didn't think many people would take Tennessee.
Well, yeah, that's for sure. Not I definitely wasn't going to volunteer that one. Listen, good luck to everybody who's in that group there. Playing the Racing Dudes bracket. We have a very special show today because when I asked Mike on Monday what he would rather do, I said, we can go to Fairgrounds. It's late pick five. That's, you know, the main focus of the weekend is going to be Fairgrounds for most people. So there's also this thing called the Bayou Bluegrass pick five, which I think we did last year as well. This is starting to sound familiar, but basically it's a dollar base, 15% takeout, mandatory payout at the end of the day, which is all wonderful. It's three races from Fairgrounds and then two from Turfway Park, which, you know, we had sworn off of the show like Oaklawn Park. And not just that, Mike, but when you were absent last week and Nick Sievers filled in, he wanted Turfway. And I said, absolutely not. And we went to Oaklawn instead. So Nick is mad at both of us right now.
Well, he shouldn't be mad at me. I didn't say we couldn't do Turfway last week. I let you guys pick that one. So that's not on me, Nick. That's on Magic. And honestly, like, I like these cross track pick fives, and I don't really love the turf course there at Fairgrounds, which is where a couple of the other races would have been. So I don't mind injecting these races in here. We've got both Oaks preps we're covering, both Derby preps that we're covering, and it's a wide open sequence. I mean, I don't know about you, but I have one race where I think I'm three deep with two 10 plus to one shots and an 8-1. Like, there are definitely places that you can take shots inside the sequence. And we're both of our tickets a little more expensive than usual because of that. This is a sequence that has the potential to pay stacks as well, which is kind of nice when you go through one of these, because we've had some sequences that we've covered that feel like they could chalk out at certain times. And this is definitely one of those where I would be very surprised if it chalked out.
Yeah. There's two races where I'm absolutely leaving the favorite off. One race I've got the top two choices off. Turfway was tough. I'll just say it right now. Turfway was tough. Hats off to them for putting together just another great betting card. They have always have big fields. If you were watching Dudes After Dark last night, Wednesday night, if you're listening to this later, we had the return of Dudes After Dark. Nick Sievers was back, and he had Amber Reeves, a.k.a. Shoddy, as the co-host, and they covered Turfway. They did a great job covering it. A lot of fun in the chat with that. Shoddy had an exacta that it was a dead heat, and she had the both horses, so she got it twice, so that was pretty exciting. It's a lot of fun. I was watching it kind of in and out, and every time I look at the race, I go, 5K claimers, non-winners of two lifetime, then they've all made like 30, 40 starts. Like, somebody has to win that race. I don't know. They all stink.
Well, that's when it's a call to race where they found their friends, right? Where it's somewhat like these lifetime losers are able to get a W just because of who else they're racing against.
It's almost like they try to lose the race just so that they don't get moved out. It's like, you know, my son right now is in about to be moved up in daycare. It's like, he doesn't want to leave his friends in his current classroom. So maybe he's just going to screw around and take care of that. Anyways, we've got the Bayou Bluegrass pick five between Fairgrounds and Turfway Park. Dollar base, 50% takeout, mandatory payout. Let's see if we can give out some winners, Mike. Ride us up. All right, Mike, here we go. First leg of the Bayou Bluegrass pick five on Saturday, March 23rd, race 9. We're going to Fairgrounds for the grade 2 New Orleans Classic. We got a field of 10 older males going a mile and an eighth on the dirt. Where are you going on top?
I thought this was an awfully interesting race. It feels like there's quite a bit of speed in here, and Touch Upon a Star is going to give best actor everything he wants early. I think that makes both of those horses vulnerable, and they're your 3-1 and 7-2 favorites. So I'm going to go for a price here. Give me Super Coronito, the Argentinian bred here. IRAD picks up the mount for Iggy Corrales and has tactical speed, so shouldn't be like forever back here, but should be able to sit right behind the pace coming back from the Dubai World Cup. A little concerned about the turnaround there since we're coming back from the overseas. But you look at those two Gulfstream races, both of them were solid. The horse took a step forward in both those. You look at the time form number, even in the last race from Chile, very good time form number winning that as well. And that had O'Connor running in it as well. So not a bad race by any means. You get the right price here, 12-1. I think it's interesting that IRAD decides to pick up this mount here. Berrios has been riding him for a while, but he's not going to be in town for this spot. So you get a top jockey on a horse that's 12-1 for a trainer who knows how to pop in these type of spots and should get a phenomenal setup as well, sitting right behind the two speed.
This horse is on my top pick. Not my top pick, but I agree with you here. And it's so funny that we're used to now Hector Berrios out in California running roughshod. He's ridden this horse the last 5 starts, including 2 in Chile. Like, Hector Berrios came from Chile, and then the horse kind of followed him afterwards. That's pretty awesome. You talked about the turnaround from Dubai, but that was almost a year to the day of when he's going to run here from when he was in last year's Dubai World Cup. So it's a long layoff, but you would hope that after a year that the horse is recovered from that kind of travel. If you scratch that race off, there's so many races on the page, even the 2 at Gulfstream, like you mentioned, that fit. There's not a horse in here that scares you. It's a grade 2 race, but there's no like true grade 1 contenders which you're like, yeah, this is definitely a horse. There's not like a, you know, no Senior Buscador, no Way to Barrio before the last race, no National Treasure. Nobody like that is here. And so I love that. I love, like you said, the IRAD picks up the mount for Nacho Correas in this spot. So I'm with you on this one. I did put the number 5 Money Supply on top. He's the 9-2 choice right now. And before you say, well, Wedding Funeral, I don't know if you're gonna say that before anybody says Wedding Funeral, if you played the Risen Star Stakes betting Bible exact race by race recommendations, this was Jared's win bet in the mine shaft. He loved this horse to win it, and I played him, so I got him a 9-1, so I can play him at 9-2 in this spot. But you look at, you know, all the way back to Saratoga of last summer, 6 of his last 7 races have been wins. The only time he didn't win, he was second, you know, but beaten less than a length at Saratoga again in the summertime. I love that he's got the win over this course and distance, 3 back. It was in the slop. I'm not sure if it's going to be fast or if we're going to be good. I know there's a lot of rain happening Thursday and Friday for New Orleans, so I'm not sure what the track will be like. But Tyler Gaffleon gets the mount back, and I loved how he fought to get to best actor. It's not easy for horses to rally in the slop or get past. And best actor, we had said in the mine shaft, at least I had, like, that, this is the most I ever want to play. This is the farthest I ever want to play this horse's mile 16th. And it was still, everything set up for best actor, and he didn't get the job done. Money Supply was able to get by him. So I like him in this spot. But I did go 3 deep here, Super Crinto, Money Supply, and 1 other. What about you?
Yeah, I went 3 deep as well. Money Supply did make the ticket. The race last time was good enough to win. You get the added distance. That should be helpful. You have a little bit more pace. That should be helpful. So it kind of fits that you'd expect Money Supply to run well. The people who say, well, he's just a slop horse, you mentioned the 3 prior to that, all on fast tracks. 1 mile and 1/8 at Saratoga, ran a very good race in that spot as well. So not worried about the distance, even though it's a practical joke horse, which generally don't want the 1 mile and 1/8. We've seen him do it twice on both type of tracks. So not a big concern there. And again, he'll be a little further from the pace than Super Coronito will be, but he's shown that he can rally even with a more paceless race or paceless setup like he did last time at the shorter distance. So I think Money Supply, another horse you got to use. I actually like the 9-2 price. I'm surprised he's not the favorite in this spot. So I think that the price is right there. I'm going to use 1 other horse out of that race, and it's one that needs to take a step forward, but I think the price is right. I'm going to go to the 2-horse Gasoline, who's 8-1 in this spot. Part of it was, I think this added distance is actually a good thing for him. Now, he ran in the Clark, which is the 1 mile and 1/8 race that we saw him in last, and he didn't run phenomenal there, but that was another race where there just wasn't a ton of pace. It was also a Lasix list race, which I think this horse is one of those that you kind of want to play him when he's on Lasix and avoid him when he's off it. Those 2 bad races in the middle of the set of 5 races that are good were both off Lasix. So that to me is something where you can kind of point toward it and say, okay, I think he's going to be able to step forward. The fact that there was a sloppy track last time, I do think hindered him a little bit. He was able to win over a sloppy track at Aqueduct, but that was when he was controlling the pace and then kind of dug in. So this is a horse who I think can take a step forward here, getting back to the fast track, including Lasix this time. And another one that has some pace as well, but is not going to be on the lead. So I'm not sure we're getting a total collapse here, but I don't want either of the front runners. And that's why, you know, a horse like Red Route 1 and Gasoline, which are the final two that it came down to for me, I went to the Gasoline side versus Red Route 1 because I don't think this completely collapses, which is how Red Route 1 wins. I think this is one of those more races where they're able to get to the pace setters. And to me, that means it's more of a Gasoline type race. So I ended up going 2-5-7 here. Again, starting out with horses all 9-2 or higher in this spot. It's going to be a theme of mine before we get to the later in this set.
I respect the Gasoline play at that price. He was intriguing to me. Just couldn't, you know, with a dollar, you can't go super deep here in any of these legs and not have it. You know, we're both $108 tickets. So I respect the play there. Before I tell you my last pick, the number 10, Lure Him In, and the 3, Touch Upon a Star, are both cross-centered. Touch Upon a Star is a Louisiana bred. He's cross-centered in a Louisiana bred stakes on Sunday. I believe he is going to go here. He's dominating Louisiana breds, or you go to a grade 2 race and see what you can do there. I think they'll probably go this way. The 10, Lure Him In, is cross-centered in the Essex Handicap at Oaklawn Park. Edwin Gonzalez, his jockey for Safi, is named on him in both spots. Edwin also has 8 mounts named at Gulfstream on Saturday. I don't know if he can, if he took the Concord, if he could make all 3 of those tracks in one spot. Do you have any idea? I mean, I'm assuming we're probably both thinking the 3 is going to run here, but do you think the 10 is going to stay here? Do you think he goes to Oaklawn?
I would think he's going to end up here. That's what I expected when I went through the PPs. I think Edwin is not going to ride him no matter where he goes. It feels like he's going to be at Gulfstream because of the 8 mounts. So it'll be interesting to see who gets the pickup mount here in this spot. But I expected him here. And he was a horse that I looked at for a while in this spot. I do think he makes some sense at 10-1, but I ended up not using him. But I do believe Lure Him In will run in this spot.
I did use the number 3, Touch Upon a Star, for my last pick here. This horse is just, he is so rough. Sometimes you got to play the hot hand. He is 11-14 lifetime, most all of those against Louisiana breds. But he had a close second in the Sexton Mile last summer at Lone Star. Nobody saw it because nobody could bet on it, so we weren't paying attention. But he also won an open company stakes at Delta Downs, Dinero Downs. Delta Dinero, love that track. 3 back. Beating open company. Miles D was second in that spot. I don't love Miles D, but it's okay. He beat Miles D and beat open company. He's won over this track, over this distance, multiple times. He's 2-for-2 going 1.8 miles. Again, it was both times against Louisiana breds, but the career high time forms for those spots. He loves to win. He loves to be on the front end. I think he's faster than Best Actor. And if he actually just, there's got to be one message to Timmy Thornton, right? Is go. Like, if you don't go, I don't know if that horse has a chance to win, but I'm going to go ahead and use him here. I'm definitely against the 9 Best Actor because, again, I thought mile the 16th is the absolute limit for this horse. I'm going to use Touch Upon a Star because of just how solid he is at this track. And sometimes it's just a horse for course angle. So I'll use him on there, but I do understand why you would leave him off. If he scratches, I'm actually going to throw the number 2 Gasoline on. So it's funny that you were using him. I wanted to save that for the end, but yeah. So I'm going to go with the 3, but I have the 2 ranked right behind him as well.
Yeah, the pace is going to be interesting because Best Actor can't rate at all. And like you can tell from his PPs, he needs to go too. And that's kind of how I came up with chucking them both, is that it feels like both of them have to go. And with the 1.8 mile distance, if you get pace pressure, and the thing with Touch Upon a Star is you're dead on. Horse loves to win. He's very consistent. He's been against a lot of state breds, but you did mention the open company wins. He doesn't really get pressed all that often early. And that, to me, is the big concern there, is that can he actually keep it going if he's really forced to have someone breathing down his neck in a lot of these spots? But you go back to, like, the Delta Win 3 back that you mentioned, the Miles D spot. I mean, he went 46 to the half, but that last end of the race, right, 111 to the 6 furlongs, then 138 for the full time. If no one really closed on him when he went that fast, it feels like there's going to be people that can try and reel him in here at the 1.8 mile distance. But if they hang a 47 opening half, it's going to be tough for either the 3 or the 9 to hold on. And that's what I'm hoping for here.
Again, I think the track is going to make a big difference, or a difference in how this pace plays out as well. Is it going to be speed favoring if it's fast? Is it going to be horses that have questionable speed at the distance, like Best Actor does? Or they definitely seem like they'll be closed down, but we're at least chucking the Flavian Pratt Brad Cox horse this time. We'll see if we keep that theme going. The second leg of the Bayou Bluegrass Pick 5, the first of 2 over at Turfway Park. I froze. There we go. Sorry. Turfway Park, but for race 11 over there. That is the Bourbonnette Oaks. We have a big field of 10 three-year-old fillies going a mile and a 16th on the synthetic. Alpine Princess, the one, is cross-entered at Fairgrounds, but she will run in this spot. So of the 10, where'd you go on top in this Kentucky Oaks prep?
Oh, this is a race where we're getting slightly aggressive, I guess we'll say. We're going three horses at over 10 to 1. Top pick here is going to be the 5 horse. Moving on up for Safi Joseph. Biskitza picks up the mount. Ken Ramsey has not played the claiming game much, but it's interesting that he did claim this horse back in December 2023, decides to pick up the horse for $35,000. Safi runs him back, protected last time out. Ran very well in that spot. It kind of stalked the pace. It was an 8-horse field, able to absolutely open up and air that field. The final time was pretty good at 142-1. They went 111-3 to the 6 furlong, so it set up well for someone from off the pace, but this horse absolutely destroyed them once it got going. Now we get second out as a 3-year-old, second off the layoff for Safi. For, again, a horse that was clearly tagged as one that they wanted to claim. This horse hadn't really done much in the two maiden special weights, then drops down to that maiden claiming level, immediately gets scooped up, and that was off a couple-month layoff. Then we see this horse come back off a 5-month freshening for Safi, wins impressively. This sets up really well for this horse. The works have been phenomenal. If you look at the one turf work there, 46 flat Palm Meadows training facility there, 6 of 67. I think it's all systems go here. I think it's great that Jose Ortiz rode this horse back in March. It shows that Safi clearly thought there was some talent here. I think she's got a big shot here at a big number. So I'm going to put Moving On Up the 5 on top at 12 to 1.
We both had the same idea with this race. I didn't go with 3 horses over 10 to 1. I went with 2 over 10 to 1. But the other one's not the top 2 choices. Top 3 choices, that's for sure. I did look at Moving On Up. This is a step up in competition from Maiden Claimers and then N1 X Starter Allowance Company there. I laughed really hard when you said Ken Ramsey doesn't play the claiming game that often. I was thinking, I didn't think he had the money to play the claiming game because he still owes a bunch of trainers a whole bunch of money. But here he is with Moving On Up. Maybe he and Safi have a little deal going off on the side. Listen, respect the fact that this horse has done well in synthetic. Both starts at Gulfstream Park during the championship meet. So good signs there. My top pick for me, I think this is the one we're going to disagree on of the three that we're using here. The 8 Pink Polka Dots. And I'm using this horse just because she is fast and she loves to run fast and she loves to run fast at this distance. Now, both starts were on turf, but she won both of them by over 3 lengths, going a mile and a 16th each time. You look at the breeding, she's by Candy Ride, but the dam is by Dyna Former. And that to me just screams she's going to love running on the synthetic here. The pace from both of her turf races, Mike, says that she is decidedly faster than the 4 Maxi Superfly, who's the second choice at 4 to 1, who neither of us are using. Maxi Superfly has shown that when she gets a nice, comfortable early lead, she can take them gate to wire. If anybody beats her to the front, she's got nothing for them. So I think this is a horse that is absolutely going to go ahead and outpace Maxi Superfly. The jockey who rode her both times at Fairgrounds, Torres, comes up to ride her here. I mean, that's a great move and a great sign of faith in the horse's ability. The big question I have here is if the 4 just decides to go, you know, crazy fast with her, it's going to burn her out. But I do believe that she's fast in the 4. And if she can clear the 4, get the lead by herself and keep the 4 behind her, I don't think they're going to catch her. So I put the 8 Pink Polka Dots on top.
Yeah, I looked at this one for a while. I didn't really know what to do with her. It wasn't the best $100,000 N1X race last time out at mile 16th, and she's been so clear. That's been my big thing. It's been multiple lengths clear, so she's been so comfortable, and I don't think she gets that comfortable here. I don't think we're going to see Alpine Princess on the lead, but I wouldn't be surprised if you see some early speed from Alpine Princess. Maxi Superfly should send from that 4 spot just because you need to clear Alpine Princess if you want to have any shot at winning. We'll see if that pushes the pace here on the 6. Just a big step up in class for me here, especially on a surface that's unproven. And yeah, I realize the turf to synthetic transition is one that can be done, but I couldn't get there. And I don't hate it because she's 6 to 1. I would much rather play her than the 4. We'll put it that way. I think that there's much more value on her at 6 to 1 than Maxi Superfly at 4 to 1. Second pick for me here, Rob, I think you do know something because I'm going to use the 9. You know nothing here. Christophe Clement, Javier Castellano picks up the mount here. This is a horse that is really interestingly placed in my mind. It's one that sold for $600,000. So you know that they thought she had a lot of talent when she sold. This is a Candy Ride out of a Tappet mare, a very good synthetic breeding. She went out, won her debut at Gulfstream on the synthetic. came back at Tampa and at N1X and ran pretty well. She was a short favorite, not able to quite get it done. She doesn't have much early speed. That's going to be the key. Is she going to be too far back early? But I like it when Clément gets aggressive with these type of horses into races that it seems like she's a little bit over her head, because often that tells you she's training really well, working really well, in very good form, and he wants to take that shot early. I'll take the shot here at 12-1, especially since Castellano comes in and picks up this mount for Clément. So give me the 9, You Know Nothing, in the second spot.
You make all great points. I got turned off by the 9 with the fact that she broke her maiden on debut at Gulfstream on the synthetic, and then you brought her back on turf and went to Tampa, which is decidedly easier than Gulfstream Park is when it's the championship meet at Gulfstream. And then now we come up to Turfway Park. I understand going for a synthetic stakes because that's where her win was, but the fact that she was 2-5 at Tampa and couldn't get the job done just kind of turned me off on her here. I think she's got a great chance to come rallying late. I was like, I can't play her to win in the spot off of that turf race.
The one thing I would say about that turf race, and why I think it looks a little bit better than it does on paper, the winner went gate to wire. Tampa is a very speed favoring track. No one else really closed in that race, and she was able to move from 6th all the way up to 2nd. To me, that makes it look a little bit better than it did on paper. If you look at the other horses that were favored, they were 2nd and they were 4th early. They ended up finishing 3rd and 5th. And she went from that 6th spot. She was 7th at the half mile, dead last in the race, and was able to get up to 2nd. Got within a length of the leader. She cut down the distance toward the end of that race. To me, she didn't really have a chance to win that race because of the way it's set up. And it's one of those where you see 4-5 Tampa turf, you're like, well, that's not a very good effort. But if you dig a little bit deeper in how the race actually played out, I think it's a little better than what it looks on paper.
Next up for me, I thought maybe we'd have more agreement because we have 10-1s here. I went with the number 2 Winnable at 10-1. I think this horse, especially at that price, is very intriguing. Only one start, but a really impressive debut here at Turfway on this synthetic course by 3.5 lengths, just dusted them. Was 14-1 that day, is 10-1 on the morning line here with Colby Hernandez keeping the mount. I really like that what she showed when I watched that replay, that they went fast, if the 4 and 8 hook up together, they're probably going to go about that same speed again. And she was able to sit in the pocket right behind them when the time came. She just powered right past them. Now, maidens versus a horse that has proven stakes winner over this and a horse that's won 2 turf races at Fairgrounds, different company, but again, getting their good price here. You look at the breeding by Justify out of a Curlin mare, and it's just like salivating. I'm like, yeah, this horse is just oozing class with the breeding there. So I'm going to go with the 2 Winnable at 10-1. Did you put her on your ticket?
I did not. She's actually 4th in this race for me. The thing that kept me off it was the time in that race. They went 1:39.3 for the mile. The 4 has been doing it in like 1:37 and change. So she needs to improve 2 full seconds to be able to be competitive with a horse that I didn't really love using. I think she takes a step forward. The big question is how big of a step forward is she able to take? So the final time kind of kept me off her, which is not usually something that I am all that concerned about. You're making faces. What's up?
Yeah, sorry. So I use Timeform, and Craig Milkowski runs Timeform, times all the races. He has her final time as 1:38 flat. He has it as 1.6 seconds faster. So that's why, sorry, I was like, where is he getting 1:39.3 from? That's the discrepancy. That is a huge discrepancy. My goodness.
Just a little bit. You'd think that 1.6 seconds weren't that far off. That makes me kind of like the 2 a little bit more, to be honest with you, because I just put the ERF on the final time. So the time was what really held me off her. But if she ran 1:38 flat, she's a much more likely winner than if she ran the 1:39.3. So I might have to go back and actually time that race myself to decide who's right there. That is a wild, wild discrepancy. Third on the ticket for me here was the 10-horse Everland all the way to the outside. 10-1 on the morning line. Eric Foster trains this one, lost to Max Superfly last time, but got like left at the gate, didn't really run well. If you go 2 back, actually beat Max Superfly in a restricted stakes. I'm sorry, restricted allowance. The distance, I think, is going to help this horse. The Tomlinson rating specifically, very good for this horse, extending out Arrogate out of a Tappet mare. So she should be able to run all day here. Foster claimed this horse 3 back, runs it back in an allowance after winning that maiden claimer, and then jumps right up into stakes company. I think she fits in this spot. I think the price is right. I think they're expecting her to run well here. So I'm going to take the 10 Everland at 10-1 as my third horse on.
This is the one we agreed on. Yeah, this is the last horse on my ticket. If you go back and watch Cincinnati Trophy, two horses in that race were only able to close on Maxi Superfly, went gate to wire. One of them was Barbertina, who ran second, who I wanted to play in this spot, except she didn't enter, so I can't do that. And this horse, these are the only two horses that closed on Maxi Superfly, who had that easy gate to wire win. And then you mentioned the other other factors going in with this pick as well. She's going to need, again, that pace meltdown. The four and the eight need to hook up and not be able to, you know, get rid of each other to go gate to wire here. But if that happens, I think you can trust this horse is going to come flying, and that extra 16th of a mile could help her. I see the line in the chat. Good to see a line. He says, watch out for the McPeak runners in here. One of the McPeak runners is the two Winnable, who I mentioned. The other is the six Band of Gold, who's 5-1 third choice in this race. Neither of us use her. She's a four race dirt horse. Has two wins, including a stakes at Oaklawn Park. Exits the Honeybee, where she never was really involved in that race, but I think she's a little too far back for how she tends to run and be successful. She faces Alpine Princess, who absolutely dusted her three races back at Fairgrounds in the Silver Bullet Day Stakes. She might be able to get there, but I didn't want to take her at such a short price, Mike.
Yeah, the price is wrong, Bob. That's the problem there. the 5-1 number is just not where I would need it to be. She won a 24-1. That would be more of the number I'd need to play her back. That's the one race we saw her run well. Now, it was over a sloppy track. We often talk to her forces slop, often can play to it, and then you've done synthetic here. So you could try and make that extension there, but the Tomlinson number isn't very good for synthetic, and the price is just not right at 5-1. If I was going to take one of the two McPeaks, I would agree with you. I would take the two Winnable over the six Band of Gold.
Third leg of the Bayou Bluegrass, pick five on Saturday, March 23rd. We're going back to Fairgrounds for race 11, the grade two Fairgrounds Oaks. We're going to have either six or seven three-year-old fillies routing a mile and the 16th on the dirt. We already talked about Alpine Princess. She's the favorite in the Bourbonnette Oaks that we're both passing on. She's going to scratch out of this race. We're not going to know until Saturday morning if trainer Dallas Stewart will scratch the eight, accommodate Ava here. She is racing earlier on the card as well, or entered earlier on the card, I should say, in a Louisiana Bred Stakes, where she's my top pick in there. So I'm hoping she scratches, runs there. I don't think she had a shot here. But either way, Mike, where'd you go on top in this Kentucky Oaks prep?
I thought this was a two-horse race. I don't really care if Accommodate Ava runs here or not. She's not one of those that's a player in it. Honestly, I don't care if Alpine Princess runs here or not. I know she's expected, or she's announced she's going to run in the other spot, but I wouldn't have used her here had she ran here. I put Taraf on top. This has been a horse that I've liked for a while. Put her on top last time. She was able to win. This is the Brad Cox that I think is the best filly in his barn right now. I'm going to put her back on top here at 8-5, but I did go too deep because, man, it feels like our Pretty Woman's loose, right? Like, this is the one race where I'm like, if someone goes gate to wire, it's going to be the seven horse, our Pretty Woman. It's whether or not Taraf can run her down. Taraf probably has to do the dirty work and then still be able to beat her down the lane. She is the next fastest horse that's left in this field in my mind. So I like Taraf because I do think she's a classier filly, but I think our Pretty Woman has a big shot to take a step forward.
She does. I have her in third in this race, but I didn't put her on my ticket. We both went too deep. We both used Tarifa on top. Congrats to you. Again, you had her in Rachel A. I was trying to beat her there. This, with the scratch of the three and possible scratch of the eight, I'm looking at this going, this is almost the exact same setup that she got in the Rachel Alexandria when she was able to win. Yeah, different leader in Our Pretty Woman versus, I forget, was it Perfect Shot? Who was the other one that Asmussen had? Yeah, Perfect Shot was the other gate to wire attemptee in that race. But six horses, seven horses, and there's one speed horse she has to chase down, and she showed such an improvement with Pratt aboard over her previous race. I'm like, I don't want to. I'm going to use her here. I'm going to use her with the horse that I said out of the Rachel A is now my Kentucky Oaks pick, and that is the six Intricate. I know it's chalky, but we're trying to beat some horses in other races here, beating some favorites, so I don't feel bad taking the two short prices. I think that these two are very clearly better than the rest of the field overall. Now, the pace doesn't set up well to help Intricate, and I almost singled Tarifa because of that, because I'm like, she just doesn't get that pace set up that she'll get in the Kentucky Oaks when there's 13 other fillies instead of five that she's going to see here. But it's Brendan Walsh, second off of the layoff, second start at three. Tyler Gaffalione keeps the mount. Her previous races before the Rachel A, and even the Rachel A when she's kind of up against it pace-wise, she just looks so good. She's just such a good horse that loves to run down, chase down horses. And she's got two wins at two different tracks, including the Grade 2 Goldenrod. So I used her here, but I also see your point about Our Pretty Woman possibly being a gate to wire winner in this spot as well.
Yeah, I think that Intra Kid has a ton of talent. I think if she could find a field of 12, I think that would benefit her because it's just going to create a race where her style sets up better, but she keeps finding these shorter fields. And I'm not sure that, you know, considering how we think this is run, what changes would be my big question, right? What changes from last race where she's able to flip the script on Tarafa here and get by? Because Tarafa is going to be more forwardly placed. The pace is going to be slow again. So for me, it's not a horse that's coming from behind Tarafa that beats her. It's a horse that's in front of her already that holds on. I had the 6 and 3rd. I think if you like Tarafa here and you're one of those people that likes to play short triples, playing the 5, 6, 7 in some order where the 5 is keyed on top, maybe you go 5, 7, 6 one way and then 7, 5, 6 big the other way. I think that makes sense. If you're trying to play single race bets and you're looking for a try that you can play cold, I think those three are clearly the best three horses in here. It's going to be the three favorites. It's not going to pay a ton, but if you have it 25 times instead of boxing it around, it makes it a lot more profitable to play those type of races. So I do think this is one race where you can take shots with either a cold exacta, cold trifecta, things like that with that 5, 6, 7, depending on what your order is. Because I don't see, unlike the other races in the sequence, I don't see where the price comes from if it is a big time bomb that gets in, even in the try.
A race where you might see a big old bomb in every leg of every spot of the try. Oh boy. Let's talk about the penultimate leg of the Bayou Bluegrass Pick 5 on Saturday, March 23rd. Race 12 at Turfway Park once more. The grade 3 Jeff Ruby Stakes, spelled S-T-E-A-K-S. Nick Seavers, don't do that to me. 12 three-year-olds routing a mile and an eighth on the synthetic. Now a couple of notes here on the field. The 5 Agate Road, he is going to scratch for the Louisiana Derby. We'll talk about him next leg. The 13 Circle P, he will scratch to run in the private term stakes at Laurel Park. And so the 14 Triple Espresso will draw in from the also eligibles list for Todd Pletcher and Jose Ortiz. Where'd you go on top in this Kentucky Derby prep?
I'm telling you, Triple Espresso got awfully interesting here. If I singled Tarafa, Triple Espresso would have made the ticket for me. And I messed around with singling Tarafa instead of going too deep in there. And Triple Express was one of the reasons I was doing that, because that would have been the horse that got onto the ticket had I been able to find a way to single her. I'm going too deep here. I'm not going crazy in the top spot. I'm going to go a little kooky in the underneath, but give me the 10 horse Endlessly here, who's coming in from California. Looks very good on the synthetic at Golden Gate last time out. When McCarthy ships, he usually ships with intention, and I think that's what we're going to get here. If you go two back, was in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Philly Turf, just 6-1. Feature Cup Juvenile Turf was 6-1 on that day. I thought ran an okay eighth, was kind of hung wide for a lot of that race. And you had some really good Europeans in there as well. Still hate that race because of the BCBC, but we don't need to get into that right now. I think the pace sets up well for this horse to be able to come from off of it. I like the fact that Rispoli ships with the horse. I think it tells you that he believes this horse has a big shot as well. 5-2 price, not the best in the world, but like I said, we're going bombs away in that second spot. So I put the 10 Endlessly here on top.
I thought this was by far the hardest race of the sequence. I had 6 different top picks at one point. I purposely handicapped this one last because I wanted to see how many I could play with. And I was like, no, oh, I'm only going to go 3 deep here. Okay, fine. And then it just like 6 different horses in that top spot at different spots. Endlessly, I think 2 or 3 times was the top pick. Not the top pick, but definitely making the ticket here. McCarthy does fine at Turfway Park. He's shipping this horse in, but he has like a small Kentucky string. This is not an unusual thing for him to run at Turfway Park. Outside of that, you know, like you said, Reese Blee's keeping them out. The El Camino Real Derby, he was my pick to win that. He was a 3-5 favorite and won, so not too surprising. But off the layoff, when McCarthy doesn't always have them super ready to go, I thought he looked great the way that he was able to sit off and kind of rally. You're getting kooky with yours, so I'll go back to that one. I don't hate your kooky spot here because I think any of these are kooky. My top pick is Kooky. I'm going to go with the 4 Noted at 10-1. If you scratch out the Kitten's Joy, and I kept thinking, like, why was it so bad for him? Went back and watched. The top 3 finishers in the race, they were in that entire top flight from start to finish. He's trying to close from almost last. He wasn't able to do it. He didn't have anything in it. I love that Luis Saez is going to be at Turfway Park and gets to ride this horse outside of the Kitten's Joy and then the Breeders' Cup Juvenile when he should have just probably not been in either the Juvenile or the Juvenile Turf, but just scratch that one off. Very solid races. You know, this horse beat Dornock. This horse has won the Grade 2 Bourbon. He won at Gulfstream Park in the Turf Stakes to end his 2-year-old season. He's got talent. Saez skips out on riding Fairgrounds where there's much higher purses for their races. these guys, you got to think he's at least partially here to ride Noted for Todd Pletcher. So I'm going to roll with Noted. And if you had asked me this morning before I started handicapping, are you going to put Noted on your ticket? I would have said, hell no, I'm not using Noted. And now he's my top pick because I looked closely at it and went, he makes about as much sense as anybody.
Yeah, I had Noted in fourth. So there was a world where I may have used him. What do you think his off odds are?
Well, Agate Road's going to be out, so your 7-2 second choice is gone. I think we're looking at 5-1 on him.
I think he's going to be 3-1. I think he's your second choice in this race. I think
definitely Noted second choice. Yeah,
yeah. I think Noted gets hammered in this spot. It's one of the reasons I didn't use the horse. I don't disagree with anything you said. I just haven't seen the race that wins this from him yet. He hasn't really improved. He hasn't had a break. Like a lot of the Pletcher horses that we see make the run into the Derby, they take the winner off. Then they come back and they start taking steps forward. He's just kind of run through it. And that's, I don't disagree with you. And you could also say, First World War, who would win this race by pole, beat him in that race as well last time out. But First World War decides not to show up here. still pissed about him.
I have a note on here, by the way, to ask you, what price do you think he would be? And would you single him if he was in this race?
Probably. And he should be 1-5. Realistically, he'd probably be 5-1, and I might single him. I like the horse. What can I say? I wish that he would actually try and get the Derby, because I think that he would be able to make it if they just put him into the damn race. Anyway, I think Noted goes off at 3-1, and that was a big reason why I didn't want to use him, especially when I do think Endlessly should be your favorite. I think Endlessly probably goes off of that 8-5, 9-5 range and is deserving of it against this field, because there's a lot of question marks. It's interesting. The Agate Road question, a lot of people, if he's in this race, does he win by a pole? I wouldn't have used Agate Road, would you?
No, I wouldn't use him here.
So I don't think he would have won this race had he been in here. Second pick for me, I'm only going too deep here. And again, if I find a way to get Triple Espresso on this ticket because of scratches, I would get Triple Espresso on this ticket. But second pick for me here is going to be the 8 Otello here at 15-1 on the morning line. This is a horse that we saw last time in the Holy Bull. Didn't run that great. I think this horse is better on synthetic to dirt. It's just that simple for me. This is a curling horse out of Ascendera there. I think takes a step forward here in this spot. Looked good in the Mucho Macho Man, beat First World War there. The pace set up for him last time, I don't think was phenomenal. They went really slow up front. The horse was in sixth. He never really passed anybody. He had some trip trouble early in that race with some bumping that was going on, but they crawled. I don't know what you expect from him to be able to come back in that spot over the dirt there, going a mile 16th. Now we're getting that same, now we're going a mile and an eighth, which I think the distance again helps him. You get a synthetic track, which I believe helps him. Castellano, another one for Clement here. An interesting spot for Clement. Again, synthetic. Clement's 23%. These two team up at a 19% rate. To me, the 8 is awfully live at 15-1. So I'm just going to go 8-10 to try and get through this leg.
Don't hate it. Don't hate it at all. I don't think it's that crazy. I think especially with the way the Holy Bull played out for him, you kind of went, all right. Never this changed. Isn't a dirt horse, not a dirt horse. So let's go try something different. Ascendera, I was trying to remember. Great job pronouncing it. I was trying to remember what he had done in his career. He's by Giants Causeway out of a Seattle slough mare. So beautiful breeding for the distance and for the surface. But the Grade 2 Fountain of Youth winner and the Wood Memorial Stakes winner back in 2010. So lots of Kentucky Derby pedigree there as well. You could make a case for so many horses in here, and I would think other than maybe the 11 and the 12, I don't think you can make a case for them. Pretty much everybody else you can make a case for. I go, yeah, no, I get it. So I'm with you on that one. Final play for me, and Ron Esterman says it, there's one speed horse in this spot. Give me the number 3, Lucky Jeremy. I'm playing this off of a combination. There's one speed horse in here and a connections play. If you look at who his trainer is, Billy Morey had this horse on the dirt at Churchill and then at Sunland Park. He was third in the Sunland Derby, missed second by a head. And I think Stronghold is an interesting candidate for the Kentucky Derby because we've only seen him run against Baffert's or at the Sunland Derby. So, hey, what can he do when he actually gets to Kentucky? We'll get to find out soon. But Billy Moore, like I said, top trainer at Turfway Park. And when he teams up with Gerardo Corrales, who's going to get them out for the third time, they're 26% winners together, 58% in the money, including being aboard this horse when he broke his maiden in the slop. Note that they did actually try to get this horse on the synthetic at Turfway Park back on December 1st, and he was a vet scratch that day, and so we didn't see him until January at Sunland. So Maury already at one point tried to put this horse on the synthetic. I look at the breeding and go, I think, you know, by looking at Lucky Out of a War Chant, mare should be able to handle this the surface all right. Looking at Lucky gives him plenty of distance pedigree. And then you look at this two works since the Sunland Derby, both at Turfway Park on the synthetic, and went 4-48 and then 4-47 and 4/5. So that tells me he likes the synthetic surface at Turfway Park. Hopefully he finally makes it into the race, but I'm going to go ahead and use him. And I think that draw from post three, especially because the one has, you know, he doesn't have strong early speed. I know he's been on the front, but he's going 25 flat, 50 flat in those races. The two, no speed whatsoever, early or late, frankly. So I think the three guys have a real strong chance to take him gate to wire here.
Yeah, you go back to the workouts 5 and 6 back as well. Both very good over that Turfway Park surface. The Sunland works much worse, yet still was fast over that track. So it kind of points you to the fact that Lucky Jeremy should like it. I don't fully agree he's the only speed. I think that the 6 Northern Flame just can show some speed, and I think probably does. And then you look at the 7 Woodcourt, who was out in the parking lot the last two races, but still showed speed last time in the Rebel, breaking out of the 12 of 12 post. I think shows some speed here as well. We'll see how much they show and if they can actually press the 3 horse or not. But Lucky Jeremy should get a big, pretty nice trip here. A little distance concern, but like you said, it bred to handle it. Just couldn't quite get the mile on the 16th last time. I think that might be more because of the pace and the setup versus the horse's talent. So I don't hate the idea on the 3. To me, this was one of those spots where if you're using endlessly, I just didn't want to go that deep, and that's why I ended up too deep here. But I had this one listed as in the eligibles here for me on the ticket. So I was 10-8, then 14, and then 4-3. So the two horses you're using, I don't disagree with. I just decided to go shorter here in this spot. Did you consider the 14 Triple Espresso at all?
Briefly, but I was worried about, I know, so if you don't know Turfway Park, if they're going to go a mile and an eighth, they actually break from behind the eighth pole. So they have almost the entire stretch of Turfway Park to get over. That said, I was afraid he was still going to get hung wide, but it's interesting to me that Pletcher entered him and entered Agate Road, and both of them with Jose Ortiz aboard, and was just kind of sit there and roll the dice and say, which one of these is going to go to Turfway and which is going to stay in Louisiana. So I think he's interesting. I don't know how much of this horse being here is just Rapoli trying his ass off to get as many of his horses into the Derby as possible versus this is the right spot for him.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I mean, that's one of the concerns. To me, if it's not, and I think you probably agree with this based on the way we talked, if it's not endlessly, you make a case for 10 of them, right? Like you can kind of pick the dart that you want to throw, because I do think this is a wide open race if endlessly doesn't show up and run that well. West Saratoga, I've heard people make a case for. To me, that's going to be a really tough trip for West Saratoga here, because he wants to be close to the pace, wants to press it, breaking out of the 10 hole with the other speed to the inside, possibly three horses that are faster than him. I think it's just going to be a really tough trip from that 12.
Yeah, at what different points, I'm going to pull a Rodney. He's not in the chat, but Rodney likes to name off all the horses he almost used. And then with one of them wins, he claims credit for it. Love you, Rodney. Number 9, Sees the Gray. I was like, hey, that was a really nice win at Oaklawn Park. To start his 3-year-old campaign off. He's owned by My Racehorse, so he was a very heavy bet, a lot more than he should have been for the Derby future pool. But I was like, well, maybe him. And I was like, well, it's Dwayne Lucas. At 6-1, Lucas in a Derby prep. No, I can't do that. 7 Woodcourt I looked at because he's got two races at Turfway Park on the page. And one of them, he was tried to go to the lead and it didn't work. But the other one, Machado, who gets the mount for the second time, he was aboard that day, took him back and got the win against optional claimers. And then, like you mentioned, he was in the parking lot those last two spot starts. The 6 Northern Flame, I was like, you look at the breeding, maybe he could get it. The 2 Dancing Groom, that's one of the ones I said you're not going to be able to make a case for. But then the 1 Freedom Principle, I was like, he was racing against non-championship meet horses at Gulfstream, but he made 4 starts on the synthetic, 2 seconds and then 2 wins, including a stakes, and he looked really nice in those 2 wins. So I guess what I'm trying to get at is if you like a horse and you're listening to this or watching this and Mike and I are not using it, as long as it's not the 2 or the 11 or maybe the 12, I really think you could just use any of these. So don't let us talk you off of them again, unless it's the 2, 11 or 12.
Yeah, the one I thought was actually playable 30-1. That was another one that I looked at, but I'm not going 6 deep in this spot when I think the favorite wins the race. That's silly and poor ticket construction. Do not do that. The 6, The price is the problem to me. Again, 5-1, not the price that I would want in this spot. But I could see why people like the horse should be able to transition over to synthetic just fine. The 7, I don't know, man. Would need to really improve quite a bit off those two turf rate races. The 9 would be the one I'd be like, do not play. Do not play since the great. For one, it's going to get back to my racehorse horse. But also, that last race, clearly the best race in the horse's career, the only race with LASIX, carried 117. Today we're 123 and no LASIX. That's a big difference from what we saw last time out.
Also, no offense to the coach, Hall of Fame trainer. How often does he have a horse win and then come back and win a second time? I mean, Secret Oath struggled with that sometimes, and that's the best horse he's had in probably the last decade. So
14% right. When he won the last start.
How much is it?
14%. Better than I expected.
That's actually,
to be honest.
That's really high, actually. Yeah. I mean, that's because neither of us watch Oakland, I guess. No, outside of Oakland, I wonder what that stat is.
Yeah, Saratoga, I'll tell you that much.
We do know that. Fifth and final leg of the late pick five, the Bayou Bluegrass Pick Five, Saturday, March 23rd, race 12 at Fairgrounds. It's the race everybody's the most excited about. The $1 million Grade Two Louisiana Derby. 11 3-year-old males now will route 1 3/16. Again, the number one Triple Espresso. We just talked about him. He's scratching out of this to run at Turfway Park. Where'd you go on top in this Kentucky Derby prep?
I was pretty surprised with my top pick, Magic. I really thought I was going to pick Catching Freedom. I've been talking about this horse for a while. 25-1 in the Derby Future Pool. I thought that was an interesting price on Catching Freedom. Was on Catching Freedom last time. I'm going to go to the two horse Hall of Fame here. 8-1 and put him on top. I think that last race was almost too bad to believe. And you go back and you watch it, like he's bred for the slop. So I'm surprised he didn't take to it better, but didn't seem to love it. He got pinched at one point. He had to steady. He was wide. Everything kind of went wrong with that trip for Hall of Fame. I think the setup here is actually pretty good. Yes, Track Phantom has some speed. Yes, Antiquarian has some speed from the three. But Hall of Fame should really be in that pocket spot. And it's going to be whether or not Track Phantom can clear all the way from the 12. He cleared from the 11 last time, so I'd expect he does. But I think the 3 is the one who sets up the outside pressure. The 2 ends up on the rail, getting a great trip right behind him. I don't think the pace is going to be too hot. So I do think Track Phantom actually has a chance to hold on here, which is kind of crazy because I thought I would be 100% against Track Phantom when I looked at this. But I'm not. But I put the 2 Hall of Fame on top because I think he trips out in a big way here. And I think the last race is not indicative of the talent the horse has.
So I went too deep. You did use both the horses that I am using here. I did not go so far as to put Hall of Fame on top, but he is on the ticket here. And a big reason, exactly what you said, that Risen Star was too bad to believe. And if you watch him trip trouble early, had to steady, and then the sloppy kickback, he just never once looked like he enjoyed a second of that race. He was get me out of here. No, yeah. He was not a happy racehorse. 2 back at Fairgrounds. That was a happy racehorse. He's had a nice pocket trip. And then right about the quarter pole, it was like, okay, go. And then off he went, and it was super impressive. I'm hoping that the post-draw helps him a lot. He's not going to break between a whole bunch of horses. He's breaking from the rail because, again, Triple Espresso's out. This horse is breaking from the rail. Track Phantom's going to have the entire stretch to get over from post 11, but that's the one horse I'm not using that you are. Hall of Fame to me, there's a reason that this horse was brought to Fairgrounds and not Oaklawn Park. As a maiden, it's because of this race getting him ready for the Kentucky Derby. This is a horse that should be loved to go. The farther they go, the more he should enjoy running. I think that Asmussen knows what he's doing with this horse, and so it makes sense to me to use him. Top pick for me, you talked about him. I knew he was gonna be my top pick before I even looked at this. It's the 5 Catching Freedom. 4-1 price, whatever. I mean, you can't be too upset about that. He was 3rd in the Risen Star in Sierra Leone, the winner, not here. So, of course, he's gonna be 4-1 second choice. This horse, I think, has, along with probably Hall of Fame, the most raw talent in this field.
Yep.
Get it together, boy. Come on. Get your head on straight. What's a good cure for getting your head on straight? And if you're a dad, I'm a dad, you know, if your kid's messing around, you got to get in there and daddy's got to lay down the law. Pratt Daddy gets them out and he's going to lay down the law with Catching Freedom. Another horse that's bred to love going this distance and even farther. So, Pratt Daddy gets him straightened out for Brad.
Swing! Swing! Tentpole!
Every time you do that, it surprises me, and I don't know why, but I do enjoy being surprised. But yes,
Pratt Daddy 3 times. I got to do it. It's called Pratt Daddy in the brand side, so I got to do it if you say it 3 times.
It's like saying Beetlejuice three times, he's going to appear. Say Pratt Daddy three times, Mike plays the video. Yeah, there we go. I'm going to go 5-2 in this spot.
Yeah, I like the five quite a bit here, too. It was the other horse that I felt was a must-use in this spot. I've been high in Catching Freedom for, what, a month and a half now? I've talked about this horse in a bunch of different shows, a bunch of different spots, like I said. One of the few horses I thought was reasonable to play for Kentucky Derby future. He was so freaking goofy last race, though. If you go back and watch that race, yeah. He was on the inside ahead of Sierra Leone, and then he started looking around, that he's on the wrong lead, and then he cuts in, yeah. And then he ducks back out, and then he gets cut off, and you're just like, dude, just run straight. Just run straight, and Catching Freedom can't catch a straight path yet. And that's my biggest concern with this horse, is that, like, at some point, don't be goofy. And this is the last chance to not be goofy for you. So you hope that Catching Freedom shows up and the head's on straight and runs well. That's the one big question here, because if Catching Freedom does run up to the potential that I believe Catching Freedom has, he and Hall of Fame are, like you said, the best two horses in this field. Clearly the most talented horses in this field. Hall of Fame was just goofy last time. I agree with you. I think it was a slop, the trip, everything with it. Catching Freedom was just goofy. He didn't have an excuse to be goofy. He just decided to be goofy. And that's a little more difficult to solve sometimes. We'll see if they can solve it today. I went three deep. I used Track Phantom. I think he gets the lead. I do think he's tough here. I don't love the fact that Catching Freedom wasn't able to get by him for second last time, even though Sierra Leone caught him. That was a concern for me. I don't see Track Phantom and Hall of Fame pressing each other. They're the two Asmussens in here. I think Track Phantom is the one that 100% goes from the outside. If he clears, he's dangerous. I think he clears. It's really that simple to me in this spot. A lot of people talking about the 7, Anna Marie in here. It's a horse that we clearly care about. He's on the fantasy team for the Magic Mike Show.
Yep.
I considered using him. I couldn't quite get there. Interesting jockey change here from Beckman. But the 7, Anna Marie, needs to take a step forward and needs to get out of the gate better. Needs to be closer to the pace if he wants a shot to be competitive here. I'm not sure he can be. What say you, Magic?
I think he's got a great chance to get third. Yeah. I think you could key him underneath and be very confident about playing him there. First off, no offense to Ben Curtis, a champion jockey in overseas in England and in Ireland. Why is he on the horse? All the jockeys you could have, like, is the jockey well really that empty at Fairgrounds that Beckman went, you know what? We're gonna put Ben Curtis on. Sorry, I saw that and my heart sank a little bit. But this horse has a ton of talent. Beckman has been on record saying multiple times he thinks the longer the better for this horse. That's why he's been at Fairgrounds for the two preps here. But this is gonna be second off the layoff. I expect an improved effort, especially with a fast track. The two losses he's had were in the slop. The two races on fast tracks were wins. But I think, you know, third off the layoff. If you get third, you got enough points now for Anna Marie to make the Kentucky Derby. That's where we play him, Mike, because Anna Marie will win the Kentucky Derby. He's just not going to win the Louisiana Derby.
With Ben Curtis up, going to win the Kentucky Derby? That's a bold statement.
Well, he'll get Mike Smith or something like that for that race. They're not bringing Ben Curtis to the Kentucky Derby unless he wins this race.
This horse was also goofy. If you go back and you watch that last race, we talk about Hall of Fame, how Hall of Fame was goofy. Anna Marie did not run for a half a mile. In that race, just did not even like was disinterested in what was going on around him. He's like, I'm taking a nice gallop out here. And then in the stretch, he actually did start to run. So I agree with you. I think the distance is longer. I do think there's a step forward. I think the fast track would help Anna Marie in this spot. I don't know if it's enough. I mean, that to me was the big thing. It's like, I agree with you. I think this is a horse you put in the third, put in the fourth spot. I just couldn't get him all the way up to the top spot. A lot of Agate Road talk. Should we talk Agate Road a little bit?
Yeah, sure.
I don't like him. That's my Agate Road talk.
I know No More Time had everything his own way in the Sam F. Davis, and Agate Road came from 12 lengths back and last in the field of 11 to get second. But he never looked like a winner because No More Time didn't hit a wall. And No More Time came out of that and didn't win the Tampa Derby. I know it was a three-horse finish at the wire, but didn't they get like early 80s, low 80s buyers for that? Like, that's not screaming a bunch of confidence for me here. Again, this feels to me like Rapoli going, I got to get as many horses. They can't scratch all my horses. The state vet can't scratch all my horses. So I'm going to put them all in the Kentucky Derby. And this is one of those horses where we're going to, you know, Saratoga's going to come around and we're going to go, look, they got Derby fever because of the owner. We're back on turf. And now we're going to play Agate Road.
I wonder if Agate Road and Triple Espresso both drew into the main field, if Agate Road would have stayed there at Turfway. But scratching out Agate Road got Triple Espresso into the race. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if that's the reason why we see Agate Road here. Look, I agree. This is a turf horse. This is just like, and I understand what they're trying to do. I get it. I don't blame Rapoli for it. He wants a Derby. You take your shots. I get it. No thanks.
He's starting to do a spray and pray instead of a sniper shot. Okay. Exactly. It's a little different.
We throw 10 out there. Maybe one will make the gate. That's what we're looking for here. Right. And like you said, no more time. It's 10-1. Bet down to 3-1 on that day. Never looked like a loser. Agate Road was never winning that race. Came back. I don't think that No More Time looked that great. Like, and I don't think No More Time would be the favorite in this race. So, do I really want to play Agate Road back here at 6 or 8-1? No, I don't. I don't think it makes a ton of sense here. Honestly, the Derby is a mess. Like, I am.
Not after Catching Freedom wins, we're gonna go and see. This is why we both now have future bets on Catching Freedom. I joined the train last weekend.
I talked about this. Forever Young, I think, is right now, like, if you can get a Derby future and you're still able to get in it, I got 25-1. 18-1 was really available. If Forever Young makes the gate, what does he go off at in the Derby? 6-1.
At this rate, see, I was going to say 6-1. Yeah.
I mean, you're getting triple the price right now if you can go out and find the 18-1 price on Forever Young. So for me, yeah, like, look, if they're eventually a Japanese horse will win the Derby, this would be a pretty good year to do it, right, Magic?
If not now, I don't really know. This is the year, right? Did we talk about Track Phantom? You were using him. He's a 3-1 favorite. My concern, I'll go back to you, is that I think in the Risen Star, we kind of saw, like, he's at his limit distance-wise. Like, the quality rode into Mischief, mile, mile in eighth grade. We're going to mile 3/16. We're going a little bit farther here, and he did get run down after having things kind of his own way up front in the Risen Star. Conversely, 3 wins on fast tracks, 2 losses when he was in the slop. So maybe it was the condition there. But why are you using him?
I think he clears. And to me, in this race, like, the horses that I think run him down are Goofy and Anna Marie, who I'm not sure is going to pay attention the whole race. And so the horse who I think gets the lead is Dangerous. And, like, I get, like, if he can't win the Risen Star, he ain't winning this. I understand what you're saying, Curtis, or I understand what you're saying, Christopher. But what if all these horses aren't good? And that has to at least be taken into account here at some level, is that no one is good in this race, because Catching Freedom didn't beat him in that race, and we're both using him, right? Hall of Fame didn't beat him in that race. We're both using him. Track Phantom may just be the best of the bad in this spot. And especially a horse that I think gets loose on the lead, I'm willing to take a chance with the best of the bad, especially when I had prices everywhere else along the sequence, right? So I don't want to get here and get to a point where, you know, the horse who I like third, who I think is going to clear, and I'm not sure about the quality of the field, I'm willing to use that type of horse. Couple questions about Real Men Violin, a horse that I think got a lot of love in the previous race, 20-1 now here on the morning line. Any interest here?
Sorry. Damn it. I did it. Sorry. No interest for me for Real Men Violin. I didn't see anything. I don't know what his win is. Like, if Anna Marie, if we're sitting here saying Anna Marie is probably going to get up for third, I think Real Men Violin gets up for like fourth, fifth at best.
I don't hate it. At 20-1, like, this is the time to use a pick peak, right? Especially when you got the 10 who's 6-1 outside. I would rather use Real Men Violin second off the layoff and beat Track Phantom 3 back. That was over a sloppy track, like you mentioned, but it run decently well. He also had a tough trip in that Risen Star. There were not a lot of good trips in that Risen Star, we'll put it that way. So I get 20-1, I could make a case. It's tough to use this type of horse though, when I do like other horses more on a dollar pick 5 sequence.
That's going to do it for this episode of the Magic Mike Show. Thanks for joining Mike and I to talk about all things. Let me clear that out of there. There we go. all things with the Bayou Bluegrass pick 5. This was a great sequence. Definitely a challenging one. And again, it's a dollar base for the bet there. That's why we didn't go very deep in our races. And then that's also why you get a 15% takeout. We love that. The mandatory payout, unless it's another tote crash, in which probably sometime Sunday we'll get paid out from it. But at least you don't have to wait too long to get paid for this spot. So that is always nice as well. For the podcast listeners, we're going to give out our tickets one last time, except I still have it listed as a 50-cent ticket. That's not right. For a dollar.
Oh, good. I was going to say, let's answer David's question first. What are the fair odds on Track Phantom to win?
I don't think it's we'll play the Ed DeRosa game. I'd say like 5-1, 4-5 to one, for maybe 5-1.
I was 4-1, 9-2, somewhere in that range.
Yeah.
And what, morning line 7-2, right? I mean, I don't think it's that far off, especially if you take into account takeout, right? Where like it's gonna come down there. Like, so I think 4-1, 9-2 is a fair price on Track Phantom, because we don't know if anyone else is good or gets their mind right. And the combination of those two things makes Track Phantom dangerous. I think Ron is right. Look, he's not like dynamic, but he's just goes and goes and goes and goes. He's the same speed. And if no one catches him, he's still running. And that's kind of the fear with Track Phantom if he gets the lead.
He's like the little Energizer bunny out there. Yeah. All right. Tickets for us. I'll start off for $1. And I'm going to go with 3-5-7, with 2-8-10, with 5-6, with 3-4-10, with 2-5, $108 for me. Same price for you. What are your horses?
Same price for me. I'm going 2-5-7 with 5-9-10, with 5-7, with 8-10, with 2-5-12, $108 as well.
I lost it. Where is it? Here we go. Dr. Tang, a topic for the end of the show. Is California racing coming to an end? If you're not following the latest drama happening, I'll pull up this LA Times story from about 31 minutes ago. Here we go. Amid Santa Anita's threats to sell or close, CHRB approves Pleasanton race dates. If you're not familiar with what's going on, they're having the meeting. They had the meeting today for approving race dates. And with Golden Gate closing, all of the trainers and owners and connections up there said, well, we need to go somewhere. And so they thought, let's go to Pleasanton. Let's do more of the northern dirt horses, dirt races like Pleasanton, Sacramento, Santa Rosa, keep doing the fair circuit up there. Santa Anita's response, a company, you know, First Racing, that is supposed to be all about horse racing and promoting the best of it, said, if you do that, we're just going to get rid of Santa Anita altogether. don't you love it when everybody just plays nice, Mike?
Well, I mean, we've talked about what needs to happen here. It's never going to happen, but we need to privatize racing. And you have these large corporations that have no control. That's a big problem here. They have zero control over what actually happens inside the sport. They are forced to make business decisions at times. And this is, Santa Anita has a problem, right? All of their money, purse money, is generated by handle, right? So when they're paying out purses, they need money bet in to be able to pay out the handle. One of the reasons they closed Golden Gate, they want more horses because bigger pools mean, or bigger races mean bigger purses. And they're at a purse detriment, meaning their takeout doesn't cover their purses for the racetrack. And so they were kind of put in a position where, look, we're losing money at Golden Gate. I think it was like $2.1 million they lost at Golden Gate last year, just paying out purses versus the money bringing in for handle. You're losing money at Santa Anita, purses versus handle. So if we take the Golden Gate horses and we get them at Santa Anita, maybe we can make that up and we're not operating two tracks, paying out two sets of purses, the whole thing. I get the thought behind it. I'm not sure those horses were ever coming to California or coming down to California, Southern California. That's the issue with it. What, out of the, let's say there's 100 horses on Golden Gate's grounds. There's a lot more. But out of the 100, what, 30% maybe come to Southern California? The other 70 go somewhere else. Like, you're not getting as big of a bump as like, hey, we're getting six more horses per field because that's how many were in Golden Gate. So, look, they should probably sell it. The question is someone going to buy it? That, like, closing it doesn't make any sense. You're just going to close it down and just have it sit there when the land is worth, like Doc says, billions of dollars, literally. The question is, who buys it? Is it a developer that buys it? Is it someone who wants to keep racing horses there that buys it? And you got to remember, Stronach doesn't own Del Mar. And that's the other issue with this, is that, like, they don't care. They don't care if Del Mar keeps going or not. They don't care the horse, the size of the fields in Del Mar, how horses get there. Del Mar needs Santa Anita to run, because if it's just Del Mar, it's awfully hard to convince people, hey, we're going to ship our horses in for a six-week meet in Southern California. Now, maybe Del Mar ends up getting more dates, but you got to remember that fairgrounds is also used a lot outside of just horse racing. So it's not like you can just say, we're going to go run Del Mar 7 months a year, 8 months a year. That won't work. So it's a really, really tough predicament here. I don't know what the answer is. Like, you look at, like, the reason Oaklawn is thriving right now. They're taking their slot revenue, throwing it into purses and getting big fields, and it's increasing handle for them. You look at most of the racetracks that are thriving right now, it's because they have slot incentivized purses. And that's something you can't do in California. It makes the California landscape difficult. And then there was also a CAW article that came out. I think it was on Blood Horse, if I remember correctly, where I was reading it. One elite player is making up over 10% of Del Mar's total handle last year. One player. And so you have to cater to these CAWs. Yeah, it's mind-blowing, isn't it? Like, you have to cater to these CAWs to be able to then make sure that you're able to get them, but that makes a bad product for everybody else. And so it's just, it's a really, really tough scenario overall for these California racetracks and how they continue to operate.
Wow. I didn't know about that last bit. Yeah, that's blowing my mind. Yeah, it's just the casino and gambling landscape in California. There's no sports betting. There probably won't be still for a long time. The tribal syndicates, all, I shouldn't call them syndicates, the various tribes operate all of the casinos, and they have a staunch hold on that, and understandably so. They don't want to start sharing any of that revenue. So I did laugh really hard, David Burrist. Chicago Bears are gonna buy it. That's what's gonna happen to Santa Anita. Chicago Bears said, nah, we don't want Arlington after all. And it's like, oh, that made me so mad.
Oh, well. You gotta privatize racing. Someone buy Stronic, someone buy CDI, someone buy
Nyra. Rapoli's got the money. Have Rapoli do it. He wants to make horse racing better. How do you do it? You buy up the entire product and run it how you want.
You set up with those three companies. You buy Del Mar, and I realize it costs a lot of money to do what I'm saying. You just need to get a lot of rich individuals who would each essentially own one franchise, which is racetrack. You keep the land as a aggregate pool for everybody that owns each franchise, so that you're not selling one for a massive amount more, like Del Mar than, or like Santa Anita than the other. You then sign all the jockeys and trainers to contracts. And all of a sudden, you can't run a horse if it's not at these. And you own the Preakness. You own the Belmont. You own the Derby. And then you put a commissioner above it. You make single rules. The takeout's the same everywhere. The gambling rules are the same everywhere. It'll never happen. But that's how you actually fix things.
And then that way, when you're the commissioner, you can't. You tell the state vet, you're not allowed to scratch my horse. That's what, I don't care how bad his foot looks. You're not scratching 40 out of Kentucky Derby. Anyway, thanks, sure. Everybody. Go ahead.
The one thing I will say, I don't think people realize how much each state's gambling board gets involved as well. It's not as easy as just making these simple changes. Like, I don't think any of us understands the intricacies of what you have to deal with when you're talking about the New York Gaming Commission, when you're talking about the California Racing Board. Saratoga handled the Pick 5 sequence terribly. They also can't announce it until they get approval from the New York Gaming Commission, who my guess is not very fast on a Saturday at 4 o'clock, right? Like, there's certain things that also are roadblocks for these tracks, which we just bang on them, and rightfully so. They should do better. But there are other contingencies that make it much more difficult for them to be able to be effective.
We do appreciate each and every one of you for tuning in, for listening to us, for joining us in discussion of both the industry issues and also the fun stuff like the Bayou Bluegrass Pick 5. If you are going to be playing, put your tickets in the comments section. We'd love to hear from you, even if they're different than ours. They probably will be, because these were some tough races. But love to hear from you regardless. And make sure that you are following us on Twitter. I am at Curtis Kellard. He is at Summerbomb 18, number 1, number 8. And if you're going to be playing the college basketball games, betting on them, and unless you live in California, you probably are. Make sure you're following this guy right here over on the VSiN network as well, because they're, of course, going to be having wall-to-wall coverage for March Madness. And you can find out more information about why this guy likes the Tennessee Volunteers to go pretty deep in the March Madness tournament.
Yeah, hopefully they make a nice little run. Be on VSiN tomorrow, 2 to 3 Eastern, or 2 to 3 Pacific on Sharp Money, then hosting from 9 to noon, both Saturday and Sunday. Those are Pacific times. You can find it on YouTube TV. You can find it on Roku TV. It's on RTN for anyone out there who uses RTN like I do. So there's a lot of different ways. It's also syndicated across 103 radio stations across the U.S. So if you just want to listen to it on radio, you can always do that. We've got the games on. I'm excited to go to Vegas tomorrow. It's a fun weekend to be in Vegas. So I'll be there tomorrow, I'll be there next weekend as well. So going to be a blast to be in Vegas, be in the sports books as everything ebbs and flows the next few days.
I saw a video from today, being today when we're recording this in this live, is the first day of March Madness. The biggest cheer so far in sports books down there was when Long Beach State backdoored their way into the +20.5 cover, and everybody who had them went nuts. So if you're one of those, congratulations. And again, make sure you're paying attention to Mike Somich as the March Madness tournament continues. We'll be back on Monday to talk about the Kentucky Derby races that happen. Make sure you head over to racenews.com. Free picks for every race, every track, every day across the country. And check out the betting Bible for the Louisiana Derby. It'll be out on Friday. All 12 races at Fairgrounds, plus Jeff Ruby Stakes. You get the picks from all of the top handicappers, and you can play along with the exact race-by-race plays that Aaron and Jared have as well. But until next time, I'm Magic.
And I'm Mike.
Good luck this week, everybody.
The Magic Mike Show, where you hear the experts speak. The Magic Mike Show. Tune into the show every week. The Magic Mike Show. You can trust the show is the bomb, because it's being brought to you by RacingDudes.com.